Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hello and welcome to the Flip Weekly podcast. My name is Matt. This is a podcast all about buying items from garage sales and thrift stores and reselling online for a profit. Or in my case this week, it's about selling on eBay and getting scammed out of $500 by a dishonest person. I'm just going to get straight into it. It was around 2023 that I was building up my collection on my bookshelf. You know, I'd just gotten into reading. I had some goals for the year, and one of them was to read 20 books a year. So, you know, I slowly started to build up a bookshelf when I was getting my place decorated. I'd never really done it before. I don't have much design style, so I hired somebody to create like an interior design, like rendering, and then I decked out my place in all their furniture, having no input on my own, really. And, you know, there was a bookshelf, and the bookshelf had all these like little decorative items, like they had vases and candles and things like that. And that isn't really me. I don't want to buy something and put it on my shelf and it means nothing to me, you know. So I decided to buy things that meant something to me and put them on the shelves where there was not enough books, just to fill up the space. And over time, I bought sealed iPods that mean something to me. I was able to get some other things. I put family photos up. You know, when I was growing up, I loved Pokemon, so I bought a pack of sealed Pokemon cards from 1999. Now, I bought them from eBay for $300 at the time, so that's 2 years ago. And when I was buying them, I talked to the owner of the eBay store. He sells just Pokemon items. He has a perfect 100% eBay rating. He continues to sell Pokemon stuff to this day. When I was buying the item, I asked him where he got these Pokemon cards from. I was just curious. I wanted to know if they were legit. And he told me that he bought them from Heritage Auctions, which is a huge auction house in the States that sells something like $1 billion a year in items. I saw all that. I saw receipts. I saw everything. I was happy to make the purchase. I made the purchase. I got the cards. You know, I got them in the mail. I was really nervous just because they're expensive. I looked them over. I was happy with them. Every single person that came over to my house saw them and was like, oh, wow. Like, had a look at them themselves. A couple of people, you know, jokingly saying that they were going to open them, and horrible jokes that everyone thinks they're making that are original. Anyway, I decided earlier this month that I wanted to clear out that shelf. You know, Pokemon, whilst it meant something to me as a kid, it doesn't really mean that much to me now. And I've had them sitting there for a while. I also filled out some of the shelves with professionally graded cards, like PSA 10 Pokemon cards. And they're just not something that I enjoy. And, you know, if I'm going to collect something or put something on the shelf, I want it to enjoy it, even though that just means looking at it. But you know, you can get enjoyment from looking at things, looking at art, things like that. So I've been told. So I decided to put them on eBay, and I looked at the market, and the market was saying that these sell for around $500 now. Cool. I'd make a 2 year profit. Cool. So I put them on eBay, $500, took some photos, weighed them. The scale at my place isn't that accurate. So I took them to the post office and I weighed them at the post office. Took all the photos, everything was fine. It was a couple of days ago, maybe a week ago, that somebody purchased them. $500. They actually live 30 minutes up the road. I sent them off. I thought everything was fine. However, on the 12th of March, yesterday, I received a return request. I saw that the email was from the Pokemon card buyer. I was like, what the fuck? Why is this person wanting to return the cards? The reason for return said that it doesn't match the description of the photos. I was like, okay, that's weird. I saw the comments, and the comments said, and I quote, "The pack was labeled as brand new, but it has been resealed. When I opened the box, top was crinked and pack opened easy as when touched at top." And then he's included a photo of an open pack of cards, no cards inside, and it's so obviously been ripped open. So this person claims that when they opened the box, I shipped it inside of a box because, you know, I'm not going to put them inside of an envelope. And the 30-minute journey up the road, that's how far it's gone. And he's saying that when he opened the box and he touched the top, they magically opened, which is complete bullshit, okay? It is complete bullshit. I fucking played with those cards as much as you can play with a pack of sealed Pokemon cards. Like, I fiddled with them a lot, you know? And I took them out and about. I took them to the post office. If you just touch the top of them, they're not going to magically open. Cards were sealed. They were bought from fucking heritage auctions, like this legit place. And it's just, it honestly is just bullshit. I would think that if I received something that was supposed to be factory sealed, let me give you an example. I bought a sealed Sony Discman, Sony Walkman, whatever the CD version is. It was factory sealed. If I received that item and there was like, I don't know, something coming apart at the top or at the bottom, you know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't open the entire fucking thing. I'd take a photo of the gap and then try and return it. This cunt has opened the entire pack, removed the cards, and then he's like, in the fucking poorest English possible, sent through a photo being like, oh, it's open. Like, it's like, I can't believe that he's saying that the pack opened easy as when touched at top. It just doesn't work like that. You know, it sounds like a horrible excuse, you know, when you hear people say that they shot themselves. Oh, I just touched the gun and it went off. Oh no, were you playing around with the trigger? Were you being, I don't know. I think that this person, what they've done is they've bought the pack. They've decided to open it up to see if there's any valuable cards on the inside. They've either not found the cards they wanted or they don't care. And now they're going to try and return an open pack of Pokemon cards to me with cards that I don't even know originally belonged in the pack. You know what I mean? Like, the value for this item is that the pack was sealed. To have it returned, you know, it's useless then. It's like an empty chip packet, you know? It just, so I contacted eBay to see what they could do. And of course, the worst support, the absolute worst support. I was like, at one point in time, I'm like, do you know what Pokemon cards are? Completely ignored. They were saying if you get it back and it's not in its original condition, you can get a 50% refund. So I'm like, great. So I'm losing $250 and my pack of cards because he's returning an open Pokemon booster pack. There really isn't anything that I can do. You know, I was fuming at this guy, and I mean, he lives up the road. you know, it was so hard not to send through a reply that was heated. You know what I mean? Like, but then I think I've dealt with people like this before in my outside world. You want to keep it professional just in case, you know, a judge or someone wants to read it over later. And that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, like, this to me is some sort of fraud and abuse, right? Like, you can't just, I don't know. So I sent him a message. I said that the booster pack I sent you was not resealed. It was purchased from a reputable Australian company on October 4th, 2023, blah, blah, blah. I said that since it's been in my possession, it's been safely stored and it's been in my possession the entire time. It's been able to survive, like, moving houses and all that sort of bullshit. And I told them that I'll accept the return request, but I'll also be pursuing any other options through some of the legal options here in New South Wales, you know, small claims court, the ACCC scam watch, NCAT, blah, blah, blah. As I said, I thought it was fraudulent behavior. And I thought, like, you know, it's obviously that this guy is trying to scam. So I thought maybe that would, you know, get them to drop the claim. You know, and I wasn't bluffing about that either. I was like, no, I'm not going to let some cunt fuck me around. I've taken people to court before, and it's intimidating, especially when you're up against people that have a lot more money than you. But I mean, this guy, anyway, the back and forth through the eBay dispute process, not once did he really mention anything about the card pack. It was all talking about what sort of evidence that I have. So for example, once I sent that message to him, his reply was, hi, what company, sorry, and you would have the receipt with the item number then. He said, forward it to me, please. I've also reached out today to a collector shop in the city and also my legal representative about the matter in question. Happy to provide you my solicitor's number if that helps with the documentation from the collective shop. I don't know. This guy seems full of shit. As soon as I mention that I'm willing to take it a bit further, he's like, oh, I've already contacted my solicitor. Like, dude, give me a fucking break. You're full of shit. I just repeated myself back. The booster pack was purchased from a reputable retailer, was factory sealed. The listing accurately described its condition. And then I said, if you still wish to return, I'll handle this through eBay's dispute process and if necessary, escalate, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he just replied again with high watt retailer, so my solicitor can call them. Says, obviously, if you can send me a copy of the receipt, I'll pursue it through them. Let me know, please, by midday today, because as I have a phone call with my legal representative at 12:30, happy for you to take part in that phone call as well. Anyway, it's just like, not once does he really dispute the cards. It's all about asking me what evidence that I have. Like, I reply with a bit of a variation of what I've said before, that I bought them from a reputable retailer, blah, blah, blah. I'm happy to, like, he's just trying to back me in a corner asking what evidence I have. And then his message to me was, okay, so just to clarify, it was not a shop you purchased from and you don't have a receipt for purchase. Okay, happy to organize a return, not a problem. And I'm just thinking, like, okay, if I do have a receipt and I did buy it from a shop, like he's asking, what does that change? You know, what does that change on his end? It's like he's just asking for what evidence that I have that I made this purchase. So I don't know, it's all bullshit. I just told him that I purchased it. Again, I'm repeating myself because I'm not answering this fucking guy's questions about where I purchased it from. It's none of his business, really. Like, I said that I have records of the transaction, blah, blah, blah. And then his final message, which I didn't reply to because I figured we've gone around in circles for a bit. He said, yes, no problem. Let's organize this return. And obviously, I've stated 100%. I'm happy to go down the legal avenue. He said he's have documentation of a registered collectibles company stated the packing deed was resealed, which again, I've sent to my solicitor. Happy to go down that avenue for sure. As mentioned, also am happy for you to speak with my solicitor. I can give you their company name, their office address, and his contact number and email if you'd like. Happy to do that. I mean, this guy is fucking writing horrible, horrible, horrible. But dude, I mean, this guy's saying that he went to a collectibles company and they said that it was resealed. What, you open the box and you touch the top and it opened up and then you went to a collectibles company and they told you, oh yeah, this is resealed. The timeline doesn't make sense. That he's honestly just making shit up. He does not have legal representation already. It's just, oh my God. It makes me so fucking angry, man. And because what is going to happen? So I'm going to accept the request. This is going to get shipped back to me with an open packet of Pokemon cards and a whole bunch of cards that could have been inside the pack, could not have been inside the pack. And then I have to refund this guy. I lose either way. And then, you know, filing a claim in a small claims court, you have to pay like $150 just to start it. And that is if you don't have any sort of representation. So yes, you can try and claim those back afterwards if you win, but it's like you're already in the hole and there's no winning really. And I think, like, what is stopping people from doing this with regular Pokemon packs? You know, if you can just claim that it was opened when you received it and eBay's like, well, you can't do anything. How do you get around that? How does anyone sell sealed Pokemon cards on eBay? You know, I've been told, you know, you should be taking a video as you're packing it, but dude, there's no like chain of custody with that video. You could walk out the door and, you know, stop the video, go back inside and unbox it. It's never going to hold up in court, right? Like, none of that shit is really going to work. So I don't know how anyone is supposed to sell Pokemon cards on eBay, sealed packs. I think you just have to hope that your buyer is legitimate and they're not trying to scam you. I don't know. I don't know if this is coming across as like tinfoil hat type shit, but I know that I've had those cards for 2 years and I've touched the top many times and many people have touched the top. I mean, these cards were fucking slutty, you know, they've been around, they've been in a lot of people's hands and there's not a single time that the pack just randomly opened up. Like, it's just so much bullshit. It's just, I want to call this fucking guy out, man, but anyway, and he has these fucking grotty fingernails in the photo too, fucking grub. But yeah, shall we get into what I bought for this week? I mean, sorry about that rant. I mean, it's just, it's on my mind and I just think that just be careful if you're going to sell sealed Pokemon cards, especially if they're worth any money. I think maybe eBay is not the best route. But yeah, let's move on. If you want to read more into this dispute, I have all of the text messages, I mean all of the eBay messages, on flipweekly.com on the latest newsletter, including the photos that were sent to me. But yes, for now we're going to move on. So let's get into what I bought this week, and we've had some good luck. We've found some items that are worth a lot of money, and we've been able to pay very, very little. And the reason we were able to pay very little for this first item is because we were saved by the sticker. So what that means is when an item in a thrift store has an original sticker price tag on it from when it was first bought, the thrift store may not look that item up, and instead they will price it maybe in half, maybe a quarter of what that original price tag had. So this was from 2006. It's a toy, okay? It's a playset. It's from 2006, so this toy is no longer being manufactured. So the original price, it means nothing really, okay? It can either go up or down depending on, you know, the brand, depending on the character. There's so many different factors that could go into it. So this was Disney, which is good. Just think, does a Disney item from 20 years ago that's no longer being manufactured, does that increase in price or decrease in price? It could go either way. For Disney, chances are it could be worth more. So that's a good sign. It's a Disney Fairies Pixie Hideaway playset. So it's not just one toy. It's not like a Barbie, okay? It's like if Barbie had a playset. It is the Tinkerbell character from Peter Pan, I think that's right, or Neverland. They're the same thing, yes? So it's Tinkerbell within this little, pixie hideaway. It has some flowers. It has a little teapot and a teacup. All of it within this playset. It's not small. It's not like a Polly Pocket. This is like a full-size playset. There's images on the Flip Weekly newsletter, but this is a full-size playset. If it was wrapped up and put under the Christmas tree, kids would get excited for it. That's how big it is. It's about the size of PlayStation 5 box or like a gaming console box. It's something kids would get excited for. And the original price, like I said, was $50. It was marked down in salvage for $15. And I'm so glad that we were saved by the sticker, because this item does not sell for $15 on eBay. It does not sell for $50 on eBay. This item didn't have any comps, but it did have an active listing with 13 people watching, a listed price in USD converted to Australian dollars, $258.46. So 13 people are watching this item that's listed for $165, $260 Australian, and we're able to pick it up for $15 in the thrift. I attribute that solely to the sticker. It's something to remember when you're in the thrift store, is if you see an original price sticker on an item, it can be a good thing. And it's usually a good thing, at least for me, because I know that it's no longer going to be worth that amount. And yeah, you know, like I said, thrift stores will price sometimes based on that sticker. And you can also tell if the sticker is old, you know, like if there's an old logo on the sticker, or, you know, you go into a supermarket now, like a Kmart or a Big W here in Australia, and they don't put individual price stickers on items. Even in a supermarket, even in a grocery store, depending on where you are, but the big box places, they don't bother with stickers. They just use the barcode. So having a sticker on it is usually a sign that this thing could be old, or it was sold in like an independent store. I got excited when I saw this, because, you know, it's Disney. Everyone loves Disney. I mean, not everyone loves Disney, but enough people love Disney that I got confidence that this would sell. It's big enough that you can justify asking a big price for. You know, sometimes I get a bit worried about listing an item like a small Polly Pocket for a lot of money, just because it's like, am I being greedy for asking for like $100 for an item that you can fit in your pocket? I mean, saying that out loud, it sounds ridiculous considering what people pay for iPhones. But yeah, 100% guarantee this will sell. It looks like a really good birthday or Christmas present. So if it doesn't sell, during the year, I betcha, mark my words, I betcha this will sell before Christmas, because yeah, it would make a great Christmas present. And yeah, the other thing is that with these play sets, when they're inside boxes and there's a lot of different items, they get lost over time. This is 20 years old. That little teacup that I mentioned, that would have been, think of where that would end up. You know, I've mentioned this before with Polly Pockets. Those little things, those little accessories, they get eaten, they get chewed on, they get thrown out, they get misplaced. And over time, they can become valuable just because they've been, you know, lost in the past. So having everything in the box, it just increases the value because, you know, everything is there. Everything is complete. And when you look on eBay for this category, Disney fairies, like this little pixie thing, there are parts from this playset that are selling for decent amounts of money. I mean, not crazy amounts, but decent amounts. And I mean, there's one part of this playset that it's a tree, which is where Tinkerbell, I guess, hangs out. Like she chills there for the day. It's only $39, but it has 122 watches. 122 watches. I think that's insane for a toy, isn't it? Like, I've seen some crazy numbers on the flipping subreddit of clothing items that have, you know, hundreds of people watching. I've never had that many. But for like a $39 tree toy, to have 122 watches, I think is crazy. And that toy is a part of this playset. So there's enough people that are interested in this, I guess, that I'm confident that it will sell. And if it sells for the price that I'm listed it up for, which is $199.95, nice even amount there. Like I said, there was a existing listing for approximately $258. I like coming in a bit cheaper. My box also isn't in as good as condition as the other one. You have to remember that when you're selling things like this, you know, that are 20 years old, the condition comes into it. And I list it for $200. If I sell it for full price with the free postage, I should net, you know, over $100, between $120 to $150, which is good for a $15 thrift store pickup. And if enough people start to watch it, who knows, people might start to follow my eBay profile. You know, the Disney fans, Disney fanatics, those people go crazy for Disney. Then future Disney stuff that I list up that might be rare would be bought quickly. Just thinking that way. There's no guarantees, but always think of the potential buyer when you're picking things up. The next item was in the plush section, and I was drawn to the plush section for a Pokemon toy that turned out to not be worth anything. It was like a full silver Pikachu that I was like, oh, I've never seen this before. And you know, what I always say with plush is if it looks a bit different, check it out, because the different stuff is where the money's to be made. I found this little guy. I'm just looking at his dumb fucking face right now. I mean, what on earth is it? It's a cactus. Picture a cactus turned into a little, looks like a little gremlin, fully green. He has a cute little purple vest on and some cute little orange booty shorts. I had no idea what this was. Apparently it's a character from a game called Brawl Stars. And, you know, I'd never heard of Brawl Stars, but the name alone makes it sound like one of those games you play, or one of the games that you see all the ads for on YouTube from those influencers that peddle mobile games that suck kids in and they spend all their parents' money. And I think it actually might be that. I don't know how people play mobile games on phones, because phone screens are so tiny and I mean fingers are so fucking fat, I mean, if they're mine. This game has 17 million monthly players, so there's enough small fingers to be playing this game. Yeah, he's a character from Brawl Stars. His name's Spike. I guess he's one of the noteworthy characters, a character that people like to play as. But yeah, he's just this little green fellow. He stuck out to me because I was like, well, he looks like a character. He's not just a cactus. He's a cactus with a Aladdin vest on, and he has this red hair, red little mohawk, and some Hercules shorts. So that's enough for me to look him up. And, you know, then I learned about Brawl Stars where you play it, and apparently it's like this battle royale game for mobile, so you just play it online with your friends or other people around the world, and you just brawl with each other and you like unlock things, and it says you can collect unique skins, which I think is like code for spend all your money on this fucking thing, or you can, if you're a kid, you spend all your fucking pocket money on this. I looked him up. Like anything that's popular, you can get the unbranded plush. And the unbranded plush for Spike from Brawl Stars, it sells every day basically for about $20. That's not what we got. We got the official. Remember when you're buying plush to look at the tags, I only buy plush that has official tags on it. None of that just made in China and that's it on the tag. I want full on tags. I want brands. I want anything that shows that a company is putting their name on this. Because if a company isn't putting their name on it, chances are they're infringing some sort of copyright. So this had all the official looking tags, and I looked him up on eBay, and if kids are spending all of their pocket money on Brawl Stars, then they would not be able to afford this plush. Because the two most recent sold comps, one is for $348, and the other one is $174. This is apparently a limited edition Brawl Stars plush from when they were first released. And yeah, the company that made them, I guess, only made a limited amount. That's what I've been able to find out. The manufacturer released like these official plush toys in limited quantities. And then once they were all sold out, they didn't end up like making any more, so obviously resale prices are going to go up. Yeah, with such a huge fan base, you know, millions of people play this game, collectors are going to seek out that sort of stuff, right? And you know, he's also one of the most popular characters. He's a cactus, but he's one of the most popular. I checked out an active listing for it too, and it was $348 in the US. I had 52 people watching it. I mean, 52 kids watching it, I'm sure, but 52 people watching it. If those kids get a hold of their parents' credit cards, then it might sell. That's what I'm thinking with mine. It's such a lot of money for a plush toy that I always feel uneasy listing it up for anything more than, I mean, even $200 for a plush. It's a plush toy, man. Like, it's a bit of stuffing inside of some fabric, you know. So being the anti-capitalist as I am, I've listed him up for a cool $199.95, and I paid $8 for him. For a plush toy, and you're going to be paying $199.95, I honestly couldn't justify it. You know, I'm watching an item on eBay right now that's a plush axolotl for my little nephew, and it's like $10, and I'm umming and ahhing whether or not I want to buy it. And that's a $10 plush with probably free post, and this is $200. I don't know how. I mean, I know how people buy this. It's kids stealing credit cards, but man, when you're finding plush, man, like, you need to be looking for the weird stuff. And if you saw this plush, if you look at the image on Flip Weekly, or I'll probably post it on Instagram too once it sells, because it will be a crazy 80 to 200, but it looks like something that is worth checking out. You know, picture like a plush bin. You have your standard teddy bears. You have like all these unbranded, like, you know, animals. You have your Squishmallows. I don't pick them up, by the way, but I'm sure there's some that are worth money. And then you have this little guy. I don't know. To me, he stands out. To others, he might not. The thing to remember is weird is good, or unusual is good. And those tags, you got to keep on those tags. Make sure your tags are official. And when you're looking up comps, always look at the finer details. Because if you found this one and you quickly looked him up on eBay and saw that, like, and you saw the $20 unbranded plush and you listed this for $20, you're missing out on $180. Like, I was talking to a friend on Instagram the other day, and she had found a Sonic in the wild, asked me about it, and I was able to find a recent comp for it. And it was a $100 Sonic toy that she was just going to give away to a friend's kid because, I don't know, couldn't really differentiate between the Sonics. So if you find an item like this, always, I mean, I hate saying do your research because that phrase has been co-opted by some really smart people, but make sure that you're looking it up and you're comping it with the right item. But yeah, it should be about $200. I just checked the listing. There's since listing it not that long ago, it's had 26 views and 2 people watching, and 5 viewed in the last 24 hours. So, I mean, it's getting views, but yeah, it's a $200 plush that people aren't going to pull the trigger on straight away. They're going to like I am with a $10 axolotl. The next is a cheeky little chess set. I found this in the same store as the plush. It was $20, but man, I've had so much luck with like pop culture chess sets. This was a chess set from the game called Fallout. I've never played it. You might have. If you see the back of the chess box, you may recognize one of the characters that's on the back of the chessboard. He's giving a thumbs up. I recognized him. Wasn't too sure if I recognized him from Fallout or if I just recognized the image. Going to Google and type in Fallout thumbs up character. That's the who I'm talking about. But none of that is important, because what is important is the fact that it wasn't just like wooden chess set or glass chess set. They might be okay to pick up. I don't know much about them. All I know is that the pop culture chess sets that I've picked up have always gone on to sell really well. And my default pricing for these chess sets, like if I'm out in the wild and I'm not looking up comps, is at least $50 on Marketplace and $100 on eBay. That's what they tend to go for. And I've picked up Lord of the Rings chess sets. I've picked up Star Wars chess sets. Anything like that, anything pop culture that has a following and has had a chess set created for it, I've usually been able to get those prices. So when I see this Fallout chess set in the thrift store for $20, I know that I should be able to get at least 50 for it on Marketplace. The first thing you do though is you open it up and make sure all the pieces are there. There's 32 pieces on a chessboard, 16 for each side. If it's missing just one piece, I honestly wouldn't pick it up. You could pick it up and sell each piece individually, part it out on eBay. You could make more money doing it that way, but it's going to take you a long time to sell all those pieces. I mean, if you have 31 pieces and you part it out, I honestly think it would take you like 31 years to sell them all. And do you really want to be selling Fallout chess pieces that you bought in 2025 in 2055? If we're even still here by that point. But yeah, this chess set, I looked up the comps. If it was brand new and sealed, $350. The condition it's in now, pre-owned but complete, you can get about $81. Those are American prices. I mean, those are comps in America with Australian prices. So selling it here, I always like to chuck on my Australia tax. I can round that up to probably $100 on eBay and stick with my 50 on Marketplace. Just I like to give a little discount on Marketplace because it's cash in hand type stuff. And people come collect it. You don't have to pay any eBay fees. So yeah, that's the thing with chess sets. They're fast movers, especially if they're a brand or if they're a show or something that is really popular. So yeah, that has had 20 views on eBay and 2 people watching it. And on Marketplace, it's had 69 views and no saves, but it's had a share. But yeah, these chess sets always do so well on Marketplace for some reason. So remember those numbers. Remember pop culture chess set, 50 and 100. You can usually get them for around the $20 mark, $25 mark. That leaves you with plenty of profit and, like I said, fast movers, so you'll be able to turn your $20 note into 50 quite quickly. And just one more quick one before we move on to what's sold. You know, I like picking up my signed books. You know, I like finding books that I haven't read as well. And this week I was able to find a signed copy of Hannah Gatsby's, I think it's her memoir called 10 Steps to Nanette. If you don't know about Hannah, she blew up in 2017, I think. She had a stand-up special called Nanette, and it won an Emmy. It won a Peabody, and it lost at the 2019 MT Movie and TV Awards, which is a shame. She lost in the category Best Real Life Hero. Wow. Okay. But yeah, Hannah created this stand-up special, blew up. It's all over Netflix. She followed that up with another special, and she's created this book. It's fully signed. I was able to get it for $5. Any signed book that I buy is usually around $50 to sell it, if not more. Yeah, I just like finding the signatures of people that I haven't found before. And Hannah, I've never found. I've seen a special. I think it was interesting. I think it made you think and feel a bit more than a regular stand-up special. There were some laughs, but it was mainly just introspective thought. And, you know, I think some comedians have described it as a TED talk. But I encourage you to watch it before you listen to your favorite podcast to describe it, because Hannah's also gotten some hate because of, you know, the success that she's had. Some of the comedians have gatekeeped, you know, stand-up comedy, and, you know, there's a whole thing there. But I came across Hannah back in 2014. She was on an ABC TV show called Please Like Me. She played a minor role in that. The show's quite dark. Yeah, she stood out. She definitely stood out. But yeah, check it out. If you're looking for something to watch on Netflix later, check out Hannah's special, or check out Please Like Me. Both are two recommendations, and you can send me some hate if you're not a fan. All right, what do we have this week that's sold? We have a few items. The first item isn't something that I've mentioned before. I didn't post it on Flip Weekly's newsletter. I didn't talk about it on the podcast just because I didn't really know how it was going to go. You know that I currently live in Sydney, but I haven't always lived here. I didn't grow up in Sydney. Grew up a bit further north, and traveling to Sydney back in the day was usually for like a holiday or for, to visit Luna Park or to visit relatives. It wasn't a place that we traveled to often. Back in the 90s or maybe early 2000s, there was a theme park in Australia called Wonderland Sydney. I have faint memories of visiting this theme park just because of one specific ride, but I'll talk about that in a second. This is a theme park that has all the standard, you know, amusement park features. They had rides, they had attractions, they had a souvenir store. Everything that you see from current amusement parks, this place had. It also had roller coasters. It operated for around 18 years, and the main theme of this theme park was Hanna-Barbera. So Hanna-Barbera is, I think, a production company, or it's a holding company that has the rights or created all of these animation shows like Scooby-Doo, like the Flintstones, like Yogi Bear. So Wonderland Sydney licensed the rights to a whole bunch of those characters, and a lot of the merchandise there was characters from those animation shows. The place shut down in 2004, so around 21 years ago, and at the time the CEO actually placed the blame on basically everything else except for poor management. I had a look at a Sydney Morning Herald article from 2004, and I'm just going to read out everything the CEO blames on the place shutting down, okay? So it says, management says September 11, the Bali bombings, the collapse of insurance giant HIH, the SARS virus, and now the Asian bird flu have simply taken their toll on the business, okay? This guy has gone on to blame everything. Blame September 11, it's like, you're going to shut your business in 2025 and just say, oh, I still haven't, you know, gotten over 9/11. It's placing the blame on everything else. And dude, this guy doesn't stop there, okay? Goes on to say, Stephen Galbraith, chief executive, also blames consistent losses on the Asian financial crisis, the collapse of Ansett, the Iraq war, and last year's bushfires. Talk about not taking ownership. This guy is blaming everything under the sun for the collapse of a theme park. I mean, how do you collapse a theme park? People want to go and experience fun things. Blaming 9/11 because people don't want to ride your roller coasters. Come on, be real. There's a big difference between, you know, getting on a plane and getting on the bushwhacker or whatever the fuck it was called. Oh, God. Anyway, I remember going to this theme park mostly because It was a really bad experience. It was a pissing down rain day. And when it's raining and you go on rides, the rain feels like, I mean, I was going to say bullets hitting your face, but it's a, come on, calm down, Matt. It feels like little stings on your face, okay? The pain difference is a bit different, but it's not pleasant. So, yeah, they had the Bush Beast, not the Bushwhacker or whatever I said. And at the time, it was Australia's biggest roller coaster. I feel like every single theme park that pops up, they always have similar claims. So I don't know how true any of this is, but yeah. Their roller coaster, though, wasn't the traditional, you know, steel coasters that they have now. It was a wooden roller coaster. And I don't know if you've ever been on a wooden roller coaster before, but their finishes, especially back 20 years ago, they were not smooth. So when you went around corners or you went over bumps, it was honestly, it felt like you were driving down a road and you were aiming for every single pothole. Okay, you got whiplash, a bit of nausea, all those constant bumps on the uneven slates. It was not comfortable at all. I mean, the argument could be made that you're not supposed to be comfortable on a roller coaster, but modern roller coasters, you know, they're smooth. You get the thrill from, you know, going fast, going upside down, things like that. You don't get the thrill from like being hurt at every turn. So that's what I remember about the theme park. I don't have any nostalgia for it whatsoever. But when I found this item in a thrift store, I thought maybe others do. Turns out that it's not as popular as other theme parks that have shut down. You know, I always go on about SeaWorld Sydney. This does not have the same sort of demand as SeaWorld Sydney, but it turns out that they do have a tiny bit of demand. So I found in a thrift store a $5 plush toy. To me, it looked like Yogi Bear, and it had a $5 price sticker on it, but the reason I bought it was because of the tag that was on it, and it said Wonderland Sydney. It had its original tag, so you know this thing's over 20 years old. It was in really good condition, and like I said, I thought it was Yogi Bear, but it turns out it was a not a distant cousin, but like a friend of Yogi Bear called Boo Boo Bear. So Boo Boo Bear was Yogi Bear's friend, often mistaken for what, his wife, his girlfriend, boyfriend. I honestly don't know. But yeah, I picked it up for $5. There's obviously no comps on this because this thing's so old, but you know, when you find an item that has an audience that intersects with two different collectible markets. So we have the Hanna-Barbera collectors, which I know there are a lot of, and then you have the potential Sydney Wonderland collectors. You can usually ask for a bit more. Just play the field, you know, chuck up a price, aim a bit higher than what you're looking for, and if you want, you can accept a best offer, or you can always come down. It's very hard to go up. You can always come down. So I put this up for $49.95, which I thought was, you know, a pretty good price for something that's 20 years old and still got its original tag on it for a place that's shut down. And it honestly isn't that much more than like a good quality Yogi Bear plush toy anyway, like an official one. So yeah, $50. It's gone on to sell, and it sold to New Zealand, so it's an overseas post item, so we're going to collect a bit of money on the shipping just because I had free post on it originally. And yeah, it's this person has gone on to pay something like $60 or $70 for the plush toy. So there is a market for Sydney Wonderland. The sell through rate I checked isn't that great. I think there's like 90 current active listings, and the sold listings are under 50, but yeah, there's a bit of demand for it. I've only ever found one other Sydney Wonderland item in a thrift store, and it was a glass. It was priced up though. They priced it like $20 just for the glass. So if something sneaks through like this, it's always worth picking up or at least looking into it. And I'm not nostalgic for it, but it brought back some memories of traveling to Sydney Wonderland and that horrible wooden roller coaster. I've included images of the roller coaster on the newsletter if you want to check it out. There's a couple of images there. It looks just as painful as how I remember it. It also looked extremely dangerous. Oh, by the way, you know, when you go to Luna Park, you always have a view. At the top of this roller coaster, the view looked like you're overlooking open cut mines, and not like themed that way specifically. It just looks like it's in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if these photos were taken before it was truly open or not, but it just looks depressing, and I mean, maybe that's why it shut down. Or maybe the CEO was right and it was because of 9/11. The next item that's sold is another one that isn't the most expensive, but it's always good to pick up. because they sell well. They're very popular. They're boppets. I don't aim for boppets that you can buy in the store for like $10. The only boppets that I pick up are the unusual ones. So I've picked up this boppet maker. It's like making your own moves. I'd never seen it before. It came out ages ago. I don't think it's being made at the moment. It sold for $40. I would have only paid a couple of dollars for this. But boppets are always great, especially if they're not the traditional one. I found one the other day and it was a Star Wars BB-8 boppet. I don't really know how it would work. I didn't try and play it because it looked fragile. But yeah, anything that is a bit unusual when it comes to boppets, yeah, and they're only a few dollars, pick them up. And that goes for the next sale, which is another Wiggles DVD with the original cast. It sold for $35. It's the Wiggles Space Dancing. It even has like a bite mark at the top of the paper, and the person still bought it, and they paid an extra $21.75 because it's going over to America. So those two things are items that you should definitely buy. And then the other one is a Harry Potter Playworks lunchbox. So these tins, I love picking up these tins because the artwork on them are always so cool. And this Playworks brand that seemingly licensed every single popular IP at the time. And yeah, they licensed Harry Potter. This was a really cool looking tin. It was like the book version of the illustration with Harry, Ron and Hermione in a boat sailing up to Hogwarts. Yeah, the artwork is just really cool, and I love finding the brand Playworks in the wild because it's always pop culture and it's always something from at least 20 years ago because they went through a phase. There isn't much documentation out there about Playworks, but they seemingly went through a phase from like 2000 to like 2010 of licensing like almost like back to school type stuff, lunch boxes, pencil tins, things like that. Their logo is very easy to spot. And when I find it, I pretty much always pick it up because there is a market for this stuff. So yeah, those tins, they're priced at thrift stores for like a dollar or two because thrift store people think that it's just a tin, but we know that those things are collectible. They look great on display. So yeah, that sold. That was a marketplace pickup, actually. It was like $30 on marketplace. Person came and picked it up. Yeah, keep an eye out for the Playworks brand. Just Google Playworks, Google image it and check it out. Maybe not buy everything that you find Playworks because they don't sell for huge amounts of money, but I don't know, snap a photo for me when you find it because I love seeing the artwork on them. And I love seeing these unusual pop culture IPs from the early 2000s that you may not remember. Harry Potter, everyone obviously remembers, but there was other things at the time that were popular that haven't made it through to 2025. So yeah, the next item I posted a video about on Instagram. It is a action figure that I bought from Vinny's for $3 and it sold for $80. Not only that, off to Greece, where the buyer has paid so much money in taxes and postage. I didn't realize how much it cost to post to Greece. The action figure was $80 Australian, and in total they paid $140 in taxes and post. And I swear post was like $20, so that's almost like $40 in sales tax. It's a lot of money, but yeah, it's a Warhammer toy. I've said to you before, any sort of action figure in a thrift store deserves a look up. The weirder it looks, the more excited I get when I see it. This one was like a 7-inch action figure. It had a gun in one hand and like this oversized sword in the other. Guy had a red face. He looked like a person in a mech suit, and he was worth looking up, and just to see that he was worth $80. That was a great find. I have no idea why it was priced at $3. Thrift stores very rarely put out action figures. There's always the same toys in thrift stores. There's always like those little baby walkers all over the ground. You know what I'm talking about. There's always like the shittest toys, and for some reason they put out this $80 Warhammer action figure, and I was like, yes please. Took it home. Check out the Instagram page to see me find it. Just to wrap things up here, we had all of the giveaway winners from the opening podcast episode receiving their vouchers finally. I have to apologize if you're one of those three. When I went to the Vinnies to collect the cards, it was a mission, man. Like, I asked for the cards. They didn't have the exact $50 card. So many people received a $30 and a $20 card. I'm not placing blame on anyone here. When the employee took off the card from the paper backing, they started scanning them all and pressing the numbers on the screen. I don't know what they were doing. Anyway, long story short, they were unable to sell me the cards on that day. It was taking forever. I must have been standing there for around 15, 20 minutes as they're like pressing numbers, scanning and rescanning the cards. They just couldn't figure out how to sell a gift card, honestly. And this was at a Vinny's that I don't usually go to that often. So I was like, oh, don't worry about it. If you can't figure it out, I'll just go get them from a different Vinny's, because I've bought a gift card before from one a bit closer to me and they knew how to do it. It was fine. They were like, can you just come back? I was like, can I just get them from somewhere else? They were like, well, we've already ripped off the card from the backing. So I was like, well, that fucking sucks, doesn't it? So I was like, okay, well, I'll come back later in the week to collect them. And you know, life got in the way and I wasn't able to get back to this Vinny's that week. And then I went back the next week. They were like, thank you for coming back. Figured it all out. And that second time, I swear, they were having trouble again. I'm not sure if their system is just not user-friendly, but I was probably in there for the same amount of time. And it didn't make it any easier, the fact that it wasn't just three $50 gift cards. It was like 30s and 20s. So bit of a pain in the ass there. I have to say sorry to the people that were waiting on them. I've received feedback from them. They've already got them. Some of them have already spent the money, which is cool. I hope you're able to find something cool in the Vinny's. I'd like to hear from you guys if you're wanting more sort of contests or giveaways or competitions, something like that, whether you want prizes like gift cards, whether you want prizes like maybe like a box of random shit that I find throughout the week. I don't know. I like the idea of giving back, especially if you've made it this far into the podcast. You know, you're the sort of person that I would like to help out. So yeah, let me know. And apart from that, in last week's episode, talked about driving for hours to find wrestling action figures. Not to find, but to pick up wrestling action figures. I checked out the value. I separated one action figure from the rest, and that was worth $80, which covered the purchase, covered the fuel, whatever. And the rest I've decided to put up for auction. So the entire bundle lot, every single action figure that I got from there, bar one, has been put up for auction. It ends in exactly one day. It ends on Thursday, I think it's 5 p.m. In next week's podcast and in next week's newsletter, you'll be able to find out exactly how much that sold for. It's got a ton of views, over 100 views. There's 15 people watching it and 26 views in the last 24 hours. So there's like, I think it was like 19, or how many action figures is there? There's a fair amount. They're currently sitting with 10 bids and at $20.50. But as you know, all the bids come in the last like 20 seconds. Be interesting to see what that ends up in. I'm going to take a guess. I put up a poll on Instagram and people thought that the final price would be around like the $40 to $60 mark. Or maybe, I can't remember, maybe it was a 60 to 80. I should probably make note of these things, but I have a feeling because it doesn't include postage, I have a feeling it might be around, like, I'm going to say the $65 mark. So at $20.50 now, yeah, I'll say $65. And yeah, let's see how accurate that is. Wrestling figures do well. They don't do as well on auction, but it's a bit of fun, and let's just see how they go. And the last thing that I want to say is what I've mentioned throughout is make sure you check out Flip Weekly's socials, mostly the Instagram page, because on the Instagram page, I've been posting videos of all the cool finds. So if I think it's noteworthy, I'll take a video of it in the thrift store and just to show you what it is that I'm finding. It's more visual, easier to digest. So check out the Instagram page. If you're wanting to find the socials, just go on flipweekly.com. Everything's there. Or the direct link is instagram.com/flipweekly. There's also Facebook and YouTube. The videos and stuff get cross-posted to all those different platforms, so check it out. I'll be doing more of that in the future. More video content, a lot more content on social media. And that's about it for this week, so thank you again for tuning in. Make sure you tune in again next Thursday. I'm sure there'll be a big episode, and thanks again for listening. This is Matt signing off. Matt with one T, by the way, signing off, and thanks again.
Flip, 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 flip,